welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And that debt is fraud. Let's continue to build on our learning so that we can continue this whole process of learning, praying, and acting. And so it's all about full focus and demanding full compliance to the Constitution. All that being said, that's what this entire campaign is. Because this is not a for-profit, because this is not a financial institution, this is a, how do you say it? I mean, this is the raw energy of our political system. When we look at the statement that Madison made, and many people always say this, I mean, this even goes down to Sun Tzu in The Art of War, that people are the fountain of political power. That you have to, you know, obtain some level of control, because as Madison pointed out, and going through the ratification debates, the Constitutional Convention, Federalist Papers, I mean, throughout there, they constantly said you had to give. As a matter of fact, even Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations comments that you've got to give government the necessary power to do those things you need them to do. If you don't do that, then you have created a government that is going to fail. In other words, you basically have to have trust. You have to develop a level of trust in this entity that you're creating, in this entity that you are basically empowering to do very specific things, and that they would be maintained or contained within those things. Now, throughout the annals of history, governments have been created as, the best way to say it, as general governments. Usually democracies where the people have the power to decide and everything is up for grabs. But we've created other forms of government, but in almost every form of government that I think can even think of, I cannot think of, well, there are some theocracies such as Israel. When Israel was formed and based on the judges and so forth, Israel was somewhat limited because they were limited by the theocracy. They didn't necessarily, you know, regulate all things down to the nth degree, but they were all of one kind and one ideology for the most part. And it had its problems. The larger your organization gets, especially in that level, or in that type, or even in that type of organization, it becomes more and more difficult to manage. But when we're looking at what we need to do, it's on you. As a matter of fact, I am not going to come and work with you and become your employee. I am here to help you. I'm here to help empower you. I am here to help educate you. And if you're not in it, so let's be clear. I am not here to basically, you know, allow things to just start kicking off and so forth. You really need to understand some fundamentals. And so this is one of the reasons why we go through the content. So those of you who are listening, you're ahead of the game. You kind of understand, as I've gone through this year, of some very new content that we've exposed to you. And when we go through this next year, you should be done. You should be graduating into the framers' understanding of the Constitution. Because we're covering this. And I'm of the impression that you are actually reading along. We provide you the documents. We are both educating as well as empowering you by giving you this knowledge. The only way it is empowered by you is by you acting upon it. But there, I, I, I'm at a level of frustration, and I'm always at a level of frustration because I'm dealing with a lot of these different divisive movements. And the last thing we can't allow ourselves to be caught into a divisive movement. In other words, it's not going to be some organized machine that we need to actually do, you know, these grand things. It's one thing for your county to do those things. And it's another thing for you to actually start moving along a radio show and so forth. There are ways to actually get a really a funded ground game, and that's by radio and so forth. I mean, there's ways to doing things, but you have to start learning and understanding the constitutional compliance, what is in the Constitution. And I'm here to tell you that there is always this, I'll just say this blanket, this covering of what I will say the adversary trying to create contention. When it comes down to ill feelings, when it comes down to, I'll just say, you know, thinking, well, let me put it to you this way. 9 times out of 10, when somebody, you know, has expectations and their expectations aren't being met, the question is, are their expectations reasonable? Are they expecting something from you or something from me that I'm not going to be able to give them? I'm not here to give them those expectations or to meet those expectations. So 9 times out of 10, when people all of a sudden start feeling sighted, they start feeling like they're not in control because they want to be in control, then it creates this, or they themselves, based on how they feel about things and how their expectations aren't being met, that right there creates contention. It's very important. And one of the things I've talked about, when you start going in and working at the county level and you start working with people at the grassroots level, you need to ensure that you're setting proper expectations. If you're coming in and telling people that we are going to do these things and get these things done and so forth, you're giving them the wrong impression. What we need to do is make sure that they understand the tools that we have and why they're important and why we need to use these and what is our end results. What are we really working for? 9 times out of 10, people actually want to see the perp walk. They want to see somebody getting, you know, hauled away. So there's a lot of people that I work with, as we've uncovered Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We just dove into this yesterday. And oh, by the way, I don't have Sean and I don't have Tammy right now because circumstances have kind of gone sideways, and that happens. And so it's just me today. So what I thought I would do is I tried to cover some things, and actually I wanted to place some context to the Constitution with what the heck Trump's doing. I mean, there's organizations out there that are literally and these are conservative organizations, folks, that are calling for him to actually take over the new slant of globalism. These people have no clue with what they're doing. Our Creator, I say this a lot, our Creator knew what he was doing when he gave us this Constitution. He gave us a self-governing system. He did not give us a global economic force that, you know, the elite would get rich and richer and richer. He gave us the ability to actually have a nation where justice and liberty would be preserved, where we weren't to have necessarily these international corporations. That's not within our framework. The federal government is not to be regulated or even be involved in corporations, and corporations aren't supposed to really be spanning across states other than the way the individual states would want to do them. This was one of the reasons why, in the 1800s, late 1800s, corporations sought the federal government to basically take over and regulating them so that they didn't have to deal with the petty differences between states. The corporation stood to gain big time by allowing one government entity to regulate them over, and basically, to be clear, as the federal government recognized the money and the opportunities in working with corporations, they actually put corporations above what's best for corporations above what's best for the people in the states. That was the beginning of the shift of true interest of serving the union versus serving the corporate state, or what, however you want to frame that. So let's just be honest. When you're working with me, you're getting every dollar that you're spending. In other words, you're not there's nobody that's paying me a penny. And I'm willingly giving up education, information, and trying to help you succeed. So when you get frustrated with me and you decide, well, you're just not there for me, folks, it's hard enough. It is hard enough managing the differences between the different states and the different groups that I'm working with. And when a new, you know, when I actually get a great opportunity, such as a state really starting to open up where I've got lots of people that are saying, help, 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 help. And I actually have, you know, when I start dealing with somebody that actually wants to have a monopoly on the decision process of what to do and so forth, now we've got a problem. Because bottom line, when it comes down to your county, now, I understand that in many cases, you want to have a standard. You want to have some normalcy to what you're doing. So some people would say, okay, we're going to call ourselves this. And every county, when you create these constitutional compliance committees, they're going to be called assemblies. I'm not that person. I believe that each county should be able to call whatever they want to call these organizations. These organizations need to be, the only thing I dictate is that they need to be made under the auspices of the Constitution and common law. In other words, you need to do it right. You need to do it via the framework that the Constitution has allowed and the way common law is to interface, the way it's supposed to interface in those states that are common law states, which is 49 of them. So this is why some people have a hard time working with Mr. Too Flexible, because I don't think it does anybody any service when we start dictating what you got to do. I'm not a fan of autocracy. I'm not a fan of autocrats. I want people that are running around saying, you do what I tell you to or else. I'm not going to do that. And I believe that when we have people that are being, when you delegate to people and you empower them, that's when you have successes. When you want to manage people and have control over them, then that's when you have problems. And when you look at the problems of the party, you look at the problems of the government, you look at all these different problems, there's all of these different factions of, let's just call them differing interests, all want to have the and manage the outcomes of government, the party, what have you, and they're all fighting for a level of control. They want to, oh, well, as long as they get their little share, they're okay. As I look, and I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. The Republican Party has made a critical error a long time ago when it decided to become the big tent of all things. When you allow sub-factions to come into your faction itself, you have created the recipe of your own demise. In other words, you're no longer unified. And people want to know why the Republican Party is just inept, impotent. It's because it's not unified. Go look at the communists and look and understand how they are unified. They may have different labels and they may have different interests, but they still work together through the collusion, the corruption, and so forth to get the ball down the road. Look at how far America has gotten. Now, this is all stemmed from the perversion of our government, unconstitutional perversion of our government. We have created an illiterate class of people. Today, you or most of the people you know have the paradigm that we have, and they may be saying that we have a republican form of government. We don't have that. But they don't understand in what ways we don't have that republican form of government. When we look at our state legislature, clearly, we've got representation in the House. Most all states have a Senate. Oh, you've got your representation. But your government is not operating as a republican form of government. Well, how do I say, how can I say that? In America, we have a hybrid constitutional republic. Hybrid meaning we have more than just one constitutional republic. What does that mean? That means at the national level, we have 50 states that are a part of a national republic. It is what we call the Union. And when these 50 states came together, they united in creating a federal government and empowering it with very specific powers. And therefore, it is the state's responsibility, the parties to that compact. It's, you hear me say this all the time, it's their responsibility to ensure that that government stays within that framework. At the state level, you have another republic, and it is a republic of counties. That is your two tiers of government. It is the hybrid, where we actually have a national republic and a state republic. Technically, we've advanced to a point where in certain areas of the United States, we would have a, and should have, a third tier of republic. And that republic would reside within these mass populated counties, where these counties would basically subdivide, because we got to remember, I say this, so I want to make sure you understand this. There are a couple of criterias in having a successful government. One criteria of a successful government is that it can sustain itself. In other words, you create a government, you empower it to do these things, and let's say you give it the works. I mean, you want this government to do all things for you. It's going to give you health care. It's going to do all these things. That costs a lot of money. You better have the organic revenues to be able to provide that. If you create that government dependent upon another government subsidizing you, then you have made the biggest mistake, because based on that dependency, when eventually that government can no longer sustain giving everybody everything, it all falls apart. And what ends up happening is all the people that want everything don't know what to do because they're getting nothing anymore, and it creates chaos. But if we actually have a limited and defined government that's giving us those necessary things that we need it to do so that we can be successful in doing and caring for ourselves instead of having government care for us, then we actually have what we would call those that two, I'll just say the balance of the two ends. We have a balanced government, where we're not being subsidized to sustain ourselves. And on the other side, we are actually in control of what our government does. In other words, that little line I said, that limited and defined, if you give them a limited and defined constitution, these are the things you can do. And if you only do these things, we can afford you. Ah, but government wants to grow. The desire for government to grow is insatiable. Once they start growing, they just want, and you see this in Wyoming. You see this in every state in the union. All the counties and all the states want more power. They want to do more things because they can create more power. Technically, constitutionally, they can't do that. Technically, constitutionally, they can only do those things that you've delegated to them. The real problem, I've said before, and in why counties matter most, The counties cannot do anything because we've failed to actually delegate to them the powers we want them to have. We've never taken ownership of that government that is most dear to us. You need to get on top of this, folks. You need to actually create that constitutional convention. You need to actually create that constitution. And so those are things that I'm willing to do. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to actually share some of this because I think there are people out there that can help. If you want to help, just give me a call. My contact information is out there. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, contact info, my email. You get a hold of me that way, you can call me. If you want to help, now don't call me and say, hey, I want to help, and then tell me what you want to do. Because there's things that we really need to get done, and I know what's important. So this happens. I've actually had several times where a person's called me and said, hey, I'm willing to help, but I'm only willing to do these things because it would look good on their resume. And those things aren't even important. I've yet to actually have somebody that wanted to offer help on something that actually was even relevant to what we were trying to do. So in my frustrations, we're constantly fighting ourselves. We're constantly fighting what's in it for me, what's good, how do I benefit from this? This is not about you. This is not about me. And for those people who really feel it is about them, get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's about working together and uniting. When I go into a state, I need to have a point person. That point person's responsibility is to be a champion for constitutional compliance. It is to be a champion of the Constitution. So the best way that that person can be point in that state is to be the first statesman in understanding the Constitution so the GR doesn't have to stand up and help people by expounding upon why this is unconstitutional, why this isn't. And I tell you, I get people, they love getting up there, they love being point, but they don't want to take the time to learn and understand. Oh, well, I'll do that later. You can't put that back. You can't push those things back. Because what ends up happening is I have to be point. In other words, I have to be the monkey on the string so that when you grind your organ, I will do my performance. No, it doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. If everything's dependent upon me, then we've failed. This is a government and a system of the people. It's for the people. It is a self-government. The people, again, I've said it already in this show, the people are the political fountain of power. So, when we come to political power, we need to exert. That goes back to learn, pray, act. Learn, pray, and then we got to get up and start acting. So, as we start looking at where we are, what we need to do, there's a lot of things that I need to cover. But one of the things I want to cover, and I'm really going to be going into break in just a minute here, one of the things I want to cover right now is because I'm taking time away from some content today. I want you to start poking specific institutions that could really change everything. I see Trump and I see these people pushing. I'm not sure if Trump really said this. This basically came from Facebook and it came from supposedly Donald J. Trump. At Real Donald Trump. And maybe it came from, another forum. It's in Facebook. And so when we come back, I'm going to read this. But I'm also going to talk about some other things. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is the Senate. I'm going to talk about the U.S. Senate and how we are allowing the states, the state legislatures, are allowing the U.S. Senate to literally run us into the ditch. They constantly do this, constantly. And we can get rid of this management of destruction. And because the day the states take over and obtain that suffrage, everything changes is what is going to come in, go in and come out of that Senate. And I'm telling you, folks, When we come back, we're going to dive into the truth about the 17th Amendment.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, first off, the article, The Truth About the 17th Amendment, is on reclaimingtherepublic.org. You will find it on the Constitutional Perspectives page. So when I go to Reclaiming the Republic, and I actually look at the very right side where my site menu is, I go down. So, I mean, you've got constitutional articles, home at the top. Underneath the site menu, you've got home. And then you've got constitutional articles. You've got constitutional minutes and archives. Then you've got academic source documents. Then you have constitutional counties, which is pretty much nothing there right now. And then you have constitutional perspective. And then you have take action. And then you have Red State Talk, my radio shows, are there, they're right there. And then I have an archive further down called Podcast Archives. But underneath this Red State Talk Radio, the next thing I have is candidate endorsement. And then we have merchandise, which there's nothing there because we're not selling anything. And Reclaiming the Republic on YouTube, if you need to use our videos for educating your organization, we've got videos there. But let me go back up. The Constitutional Perspectives page is where I have the latest and greatest articles. This is where the Federalist Papers articles is going to land very soon. And I say very soon, that may be another month or two away, unfortunately. But the very first article on here is The Truth About the 17th Amendment. The fact is, the 17th Amendment did not take the state's suffrage. What does suffrage mean? Suffrage is your right to vote. When we talk about the people's suffrage, we talk about your right to vote. Now, your right is not a constitutional right. As a citizen, you have a right to vote. However, we don't account to giving you or catering to you a ballot and everything else. In other words, if you want to vote, you can vote. We will not deny you based on race, age, gender, or sex, or by a poll tax, if you've paid your taxes or not. In other words, if you want to vote, we will not keep you from voting by these types of rules and regulations. But you have to get out to vote, and if your business, if you've allowed your business to conduct a meeting on the day you need to vote, because we got to get down to one day voting again, folks. We've got to get down to be serious citizens and understanding our obligation and the importance of voting for your representation and for your constitutional republic, and to create an infinite time span for people to be able to vote and being able to mail people ballots. And I'm sorry, the government is not required to do that. The government is required to establish a day of election and to basically establish the time, place, and manner of that election. The federal government establishes the day. They establish, because federal elections and so forth, they've established the day when the nation, because We got to a point where they wanted to make sure that all elections were done together. Now, the federal government has identified the first Tuesday of the month. Therefore, the first Tuesday being, well, heck, that was yesterday. So the election was yesterday. But when you look at states, let's just going down this side, this rat hole. When we look at states that actually started voting 3 weeks ago, that's in violation of the day of voting that the federal government has created. You only have one day of voting. Why? Because it is to be a secure system. The more you open it up and the more you allow the ballots to fly around, and instead of having a tight local control of your ballots, most of these states that do this mail-in, this is where they manufacture, this is where they steeped election fraud into the system. And I'm here to tell you, they're guarding their election fraud that they have created because they have become successful at changing the outcome of elections based on their desires and not based on your votes. Therefore, when we look at voting, voting is literally a one-day, by law, it is a one-day event. If you have control over your business, and if you're working for somebody and you're going to be out of town, then it's one thing to say, I need an absentee ballot. And if you're going to be traveling on business for your business, your company, then your company would need to actually provide you a written document that says, my employee, your name, on the sheet of paper, I'm sending away for business, and they need to be, we would like them to be able to vote. Doesn't mean the state's obligated to accommodate you. The only people that I believe that there should be an accommodation for is the military. They're serving their country. If you're in the capacity of serving your country abroad, then you should be able to vote. And the state should be able to, and they used to do this just fine. But they knew that most of those votes came back with a very specific outcome. And so, but they followed that same system to basically corrupt it so that they could start changing the outcome. But anyway, I digress. When we were going into break, I was telling you that we needed to restore the Senate and its suffrage. The right of the state legislature to tell their representatives. We're a representative government. So the state isn't actually voting. They established two proxy voters in the Senate. That's why there are two senators. They're in different classes, so there's some continuity. And the state has the authority to tell them how to vote. They are their representatives. So if the state legislature all agrees on exactly how they want those guys to vote, they can dictate to them, you better vote this way. Because they're there to give the state legislature their voice. They're only representatives. They're only proxies. We don't have 100 men that are equal to the power of God in voting, and they can decide however they want to vote. No. The whole point of that Senate was to secure the votes for the states to be able to protect themselves. That's one of the reasons why that's in Article 5, that no state shall be denied its equal suffrage in the Senate without its consent. So, as we look at the states today, and I'll just go through this kind of, you know, as best as I possibly can, because I've got a graphic here. It's a spreadsheet that lays out every state in the union. And when we look at Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, and Arkansas, those four states are red. Those four states are Republican-controlled. Now, Alaska has what I would call a Democrat, because Lisa Murkowski, I think she's still in. Lisa Murkowski does not vote the way the state would want her to vote. She votes the way she, you know, can make money, and she's very, very supportive of the Democratic voting and their agenda. This is not about politics, folks. This is about suffrage, what is in the best interest of the constituents for those representatives. So when we look at these two states, Alabama and Alaska, one of those senators is actually voting contrary to the state legislature. And the state legislature of Alaska should be able to tell both Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan precisely how they want them to vote on every issue. We can do that because we live in a day where we can see what the issues are. We can see all, we can hear the debates ourselves. We don't need to rely upon their best judgment. The state legislature can actually make the better judgment than they can. Because how well do you think the U.S. senators today understand their state's plight? How well do you think they understand what's going on right now in their state? They're so disconnected and they are so unplugged, or I should say, they are so adjoined to the globalists who paid to get them into these seats. You want to watch the cost of the U.S. Senate elections just go down to nothing? It'll go down to nothing, folks, if the state legislatures demanded that their senators, and they got the compliance out of their senators, and there's ways to do this. But Alaska is one of those. Now when we look at Arizona, Arizona has two Democratic senators. Now when we look at who voted how, I could probably, and actually let me just do this, because if I actually add the turncoats, along with the, all of the Democratic senators, and it doesn't take long for me to get all the math, because if this comes up to the basic majority, then we actually have, let me see here, that's 47. So if I'm only counting the Lisa, I think I'm counting Lisa, and then I'm counting all the rest of the Democrats. All the rest of the Democrats, because that gives you 47. And then we have a few others that are out there, such as Susan Collins and Angus King. They represent Maine and their turncoats, and they've obviously given their votes. If you showed me exactly who voted, we could look at this and actually say, oh, yeah, no wonder. No wonder. And so let me go down to the next person that I think would be the turncoat or split. This would be Michigan and Minnesota. There's a good, well, Minnesota, they're Democrats. Well, actually, I did count those. So where are the other Republicans who actually flipped and voted? In other words, I'm looking at 49 votes. Who were the Republicans? Who were the couple of Republicans who actually voted, and in addition to the turncoats I've already identified? When you look at the makeup of the U.S. Senate today, there's just no way the Democrats could have any control or actually amass any contention. Why am I covering this? I said this and I've said this and I've said this. And if Trump doesn't get this message, then it's not because I'm not saying it. It's because people are withholding it from him. And I know this because, bottom line, I can't tell you how many times I've heard things we've talked about, things that I always say, that get repeated as people start understanding more and more what we need to do. It's just like when we started talking about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment years ago. All of a sudden, we heard Congress bring it up. Anyway, this is what Trump said in this social media post. The Democrats are far more likely to win the midterms and the next presidential election if we don't do the termination of the filibuster, the nuclear option, which is basically a majority rule, because it will be impossible for Republicans to get common sense policies done with these crazed Democrats, lunatics, being able to block everything by withholding their votes. He is under the impression that the Democrats and the individual U.S. senators have full control over their voice and over their voting in the U.S. Senate. Unfortunately, Donald Trump doesn't understand the Constitution and that the U.S. senators are there to vote in favor or against whatever their state tells them to do.
the Constitution and the 17th Amendment did not change the Constitution in guaranteeing the state legislature suffrage. Therefore, the support, I mean, everything he's arguing for and being scared about, it doesn't matter because you have to change the makeup of the states. It doesn't matter if they're all Democrats. If you have 30 states, even more importantly, if you have more than that, because what do we have? I'm going to count the states. I'm going to count all of the senators that are Republican-controlled. And I'm going to count the states, because we got three states that are split. I'm counting those as well. And so as we go, oh, by the way, New Hampshire has two Democrats as well. But now let's add up all of, and the splits, of the Republican-controlled Senate. And what that gives you, folks, is 66. If we split the states, there are those six votes out of that three states that are split. In other words, what it means is one body is Republican-controlled, like the 9 times out of 10, it is the the House of Representatives, because usually the first year they go first. And then the second election, the 2 years later, is when the Senate flips more, because the Senate actually is controlled. Their elections are 4 years. And so you only have an effect on half of the senators in any given election. But every 2 years, you have a full effect on the entire House of Representatives. Therefore, that's why it takes the Senate to catch up with the trends of the state. That being said, that's 66 votes. 66 votes. And if you go into these states, like these three split states, and what are those three split states? Maine, Michigan, and Minnesota. Because you may have one body that wants their senator to vote one way and the other body, all they need to do is basically break it down that each house will control one of the senators' votes. And so when you have a unanimity, when you basically are united in getting your senator to vote as an entire legislature, then, you know, if both houses are, you know, in tune with each other, then both of those votes would go that way. But there's no reason why you have to allow your senators, your U.S. senators, to make their own decisions. They can't make the best decisions for your states, and they're not making the best decisions for your states. They're making the best decisions for the globalists. I even heard comment recently that every bill that makes it to the floor makes it there because the globalists want that bill on the floor. You want to end the globalist control over the Senate, folks? This is how it's done. If Trump wants to end this fiasco, this party control, the globalist control over the U.S. Senate, this is how it's done, using the Constitution. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what anybody thinks. When the states start asserting their authority over their senators, it's done. It is done. And there's no way. And as a matter of fact, when Trump looks at this and the DOJ looks at this, if the Supreme Court or any justice wants to jump in and say, hey, we've got to protect the globalist control over here, then whoever those justices are, they should be removed just like that. Because that guaranteed protection clause in Article 5 is clear that no state shall lose its equal suffrage. In other words, both of those senators are under their control as to how they were going to vote without their consent. And the 17th Amendment didn't ask for that consent. If the 17th Amendment actually said, if the language was there, that the state legislature would no longer be guaranteed its suffrage in the Senate, then that amendment would be violating Article 5. They would literally need to amend and remove that line in Article 5 as well as a part of that amendment. The reason they didn't do that, folks, is because they were counting on the fact that nobody even knew about it. And I'm going to bet dollars to donuts that those people who drafted the 17th Amendment didn't know that that line was in the fifth article.
In other words, they didn't understand these amendment protection clauses. They didn't read it. How many people today are working and have no clue, they don't read, and they've not read the entire Constitution, and yet they write amendments to the Constitution? So the other thing that absolutely infuriates me at this point in time is when I start seeing these types of comments from Trump or anybody that says we need to establish term limits. Heck no. We don't. We need to hold every public servant accountable to their oath. What we need is Trump and the Department of Justice to start enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Any person who is under oath, regardless if it's federal, state, or local, if your office requires that you take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, then if you violate that oath, you need to be removed. That includes judges. That includes everybody that is required to take that oath. Let's start enforcing that. As a matter of fact, the president should actually go to Congress and say, Congress, you need to establish a way that all the states need to enforce this. This is the supreme law of the land. And we've got states and people in office all over the place that are running roughshod over the Constitution by violating it directly. This whole invasion is a direct violation of the Constitution. And they're just ignoring these things. So, folks, as we lay out the constitutional arguments, there's no wiggle room here. And that's what scares these politicians. These politicians aren't going to do it until we demand it. Start calling the White House. Start communicating to the White House. Hey, how about restoring per the Constitution and point them to that article? The truth about the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment did not deny those states that suffrage. So, just to be clear here, we've got three states, that's six senators, that are both senators are Democrats, New Hampshire, Arizona, and Georgia. And then we've got one state that I know of, which is, I believe, not Georgia, I believe it's Pennsylvania. Let me find Pennsylvania down here. And yes, Wisconsin is one. They have one. And actually, Pennsylvania, yep, it's one, Fetterman. So Tammy Baldwin and Fetterman, so that's eight. That's eight just on red states that have red control. That's eight votes right there. Eight Republican votes that should actually be controlled by the state. All of them should be controlled. But when they take those controls, all of that comes back. The shutdown that we're suffering today ends tomorrow. When the states understand and these senators understand that if you don't vote the way that state legislature tells you to vote, you're gone. You have denied them their constitutional suffrage in that Senate. You're there as a proxy to make sure that their desires, their will, is actually happening via your votes. Therefore, when we go into the split states, because what did I say? That's eight. And you add these other six, that's 14. And so technically, when we look at the Republican-controlled legislatures, what would end up happening is we would end up actually having 66 votes. Do you understand? 66 votes. Does Trump need to worry? We could actually restore all of those barriers that they took down because the Democrats and the Republicans were losing this monopoly control. In other words, every chief justice, every seat will require a 60 vote count to get into the seat of being a Supreme Court justice, to becoming a Secretary of Defense. All appointments should be, all of these processes in restoring that 60 vote requirement can be restored. Every time that they've taken a whack at and done away with, you know, this thing they call the nuclear, not done away with, but invoking the nuclear option of basically just a majority, which is what Trump is complaining about. We don't need to worry about that. Let's let the Constitution work the way it's supposed to, because then we could restore those things. It's not about voting for, you know, our Republicans or their Republicans. It's about making sure that the states maintain their suffrage, because I'm going to tell you right now, the states are far more conservative than that federal government. And as much as they may be corrupted, they're not corrupted to that point, if you know what I mean. So bottom line, folks, if the message starts getting to Trump and you have the ability to directly communicate, then we will actually be there. We'll actually be able to get and restore the barriers in the Senate from the globalists. We'll actually be able to get the outcomes of the Senate the way they should be in accordance to the Constitution. We have to start focusing on compliance to the Constitution. Those states have every right to tell their senators how they want them to vote. I can't tell you how much. You know, I appreciate the fact of the system we've been given, and I know that's why you listen to this show. I know that's why you're looking to figure out how can you get involved. I don't believe I'm an entertaining person. I may, you know, say something that's funny. I may be, you know, a little intelligent and can put up a good argument or give you a good soundbite. But the reality is I'm giving you the content of exactly how the framers explained every part of this Constitution. So what that means is that you're receiving a profound understanding of what we're supposed to have versus what we've got. What they did is they've convinced the nation in every legislative body that as long as a majority of your legislators have decided to assume a power, role, responsibility, you name it, they've made the decision to do it, they're going to go ahead and do it, they're going to create a new tax. 9 times out of 10, when it comes down to taxes, people will look at the Constitution, but when it comes down to the enumerated roles, powers, and so forth, how many states? Go look at your state constitution right now. Go find your state constitution and look to see if your state constitution possesses the authority from we the people, from you the people of your state. Did you delegate to your state the ability in the Constitution for them to regulate labor and to establish a wage? In other words, establish a minimum wage. Every state in the union has a minimum wage, but I've yet to see a state constitution where they've been given the authority to do that. And the states, that the progressive states, are destroying their economy, making it impossible for people to retire in their states because they've inflated the cost of labor. You want to destroy people, you don't only inflate the currency, you inflate the cost of labor so it hurts. I mean, who wants to spend $100-some an hour for somebody to come by and mow your lawn? Folks, it's getting ridiculous. We have to take a stand, and full compliance to the Constitution is the only way we can save ourselves. We can't just go halfway down this path or half-stepping. We have to take the full 30-inch step. My friends, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, process. This is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.